have, praise God, that we don't need. And y'all know it. Man, we'll pay off this church. We'll pay off this church. We'll pay off another church. Just take all of that stuff that we got sitting at our houses doing nothing but collecting dust. Praise God. So what am I trying to say? God said that he'll supply all of our needs, and he has the wherewithal to do it. Praise God. He will supply all of our needs. And one thing I like about Jesus, praise God, when he supplies all of our needs, he'll give us enough to take care of ourselves. And you want to know something? He'll give us enough to take care of somebody else. Somebody say, I know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Put 2 Corinthians, praise God, chapter 9, verse 8 on that marquee. Praise God. Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, that's the King James. I don't know if they got the New Living Translation back there, but let me read what the New Living Translation says of that same verse. The New Living Translation says this. It says, and God will generously provide all your needs. Then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. Praise God. What am I trying to say? Praise God. His supply is providential. And that means that it's available. Praise God. It is abundant. It's divine. He has it. Praise God. Because how do I know that he has it? Praise God. Psalm 50 verse 10 says that, praise God, that every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to me. Praise God. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8 declares that the silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. Praise God. What am I trying to say? That the cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to him. All of the silver and gold belongs to him. And he just allows us to hold it for a little while as we pilgrimage through this land. So what am I trying to say? His coverts will never go bare. Praise God. So whatever it is that you are in need of, praise God, God will supply. His supplies will never run out. Praise God. If you're in need of healing this morning, praise God, he can heal. If you are in need of a financial blessing, praise God, he can provide. If you're in need of a spiritual uplifting, praise God, God is able to lift you up. But praise God, I've given you three. And I told you that I had four. Praise God, God's supply, praise God, is personal. God's supply is positive. And God's supply is providential. But the fourth thing that I wanted to see this morning, that you see in this text, and it said that God's supply is in his presence. But let me read the whole verse for you to see it. Praise God. Verse 19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What am I trying to say? That God and Jesus works together. And Jesus always wants to be present with us. In fact, his word said that I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. I'm always there, even until the end of the earth. He's with us all the way. And he tells us that we cannot get to the Father except by him. John 14, 6 says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. What am I trying to tell us today? That is some importance in God's supply. God's
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
We are all going to run out of time, and no matter what it is that we haven't done or haven't accomplished while we were alive, it's going to be too late. Amen. And so we need to try and make the most of our time. Why? By remembering that we only have one life, and you're made for God, so don't waste it. But how many of you know that you can be successful, you can be rich, you can be living the so-called good life, but if it's a life without God, you're just wasting your life? And that's why the Bible tells us in Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? My brothers and sisters, the Bible is crystal clear. God created us for his glory. And that's why we read in Isaiah 43:6-7, thus said the Lord, he said, bring my son from afar, my daughter from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created, for my glory. And that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 5:16 when he said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. My brothers and sisters, life is wasted when we do not live for the glory of God. But before we get into our immediate text, I thought I would just sort of clarify some things, such as, what is the glory of God? What does it mean to glorify God? Well, first of all, the glory of God is the beauty of his spirit. It's not aesthetic beauty or material beauty, but it's the beauty that emanates from his character, from all that he is. Now, the glory of man is the beauty of man's spirit, which is fallible and eventually passes away. But the glory of God, which is manifested in all of his attributes together, never passes away because they are eternal. But it is the mistake that many people continue to make today, because so many people are trusting in earthly things, earthly relationship, their own power, talents, or beauty, or the goodness they see in others. But the problem with this is that all these things will fade and fail, as they will inevitably do, leaving folk in despair. But it all goes back to God in the end. And the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, who we will find in him, the very source of all beauty in him in heaven, and nothing will be lost. All those things that faded in life, if we are in him, we will find in him. But what does it mean to glorify God? Now, the word glory in the Old Testament bears with the idea of the greatness of splendor. In the New Testament, the word glory is translated to mean dignity, honor, praise, and worship. And so putting the two together, we find that glorifying God means to acknowledge his greatness and give him honor by praising and worshiping him, primarily because he and he alone deserves our praise. He and he alone deserves our honor and worship. In other words, God's glory is the essence of his nature. And we give glory to him by recognizing that essence. And so the question that comes to the mind of many, if God has all of the glory, which he does, then how do we give him glory? Because how can we give God something which is his in the first place? Well, the key is found in 1 Chronicles 16:28-29 that says, give to the Lord, O families of nations, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And so first we are to ascribe or give glory to him because it is his due. No one else deserves the praise and worship that we give the glorified God. And then we know that Isaiah 42:8 confirms this when God says, I am the Lord. And when you see the Lord in all caps, that means he's telling you his name. His name is Yahweh. That's my name. I will not give glory to another of my praise to idols. Secondly, we are to bring an offering to God as a part of the worship that glorifies him. Somebody may wonder, what is the offering that we are to bring to God? The offering we are to bring to God as we come before him in his splendor of beauty of his holiness involves agreement, obedience, submission, and rehearsing his attributes or extolling or praising him. Because glorifying God begins with agreeing with everything he says and especially about himself. But lest I hold you too long, if you're not giving God the glory for everything you are and everything you do, I'll just stop by to tell you, you're living a wasted life. And so our example of a young person who was living a wasted life is found in our text, in the prodigal son. Now, the very word prodigal means wasteful. Note, we read in verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous, undisciplined living. Here we see in the story of the prodigal son the tragedy of a wasted life. In a far country, he wasted his money, his character, his health, his influence, his opportunity for doing good in his life. And look around you and see how many wasted lives all around you. Because if you walk away from God and try to live your life without him in control, you are living a wasted life. And sure enough, if you are without Christ in your life, meaning you're not saved, no matter how successful, no matter how educated, how good, how loyal you are to your wife and family, I need to tell you, without Christ in your life, you are still living a wasted life. Well, like the rich man in the story with poor Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a poor beggar, but the rich man had everything, but he lacked compassion and he lacked God in his life. Even his guard dogs had more compassion for Lazarus. But the Bible says that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, which suggests to me that he lived a rich and prosperous life, but he lacked the one and main ingredient in his life, and that was God. So again, I remind us that the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and die and go to hell? Amen. Which says to me that the greatest tragedy in the world is the tragedy of a wasted life. And so before I close, I need to lift three things in your hearing as we talk from this subject, the tragedy of a wasted life, and then I'll let you alone. But now the one thing that ought to make us not want to live a wasted life without Christ is that, first of all, we have just one life to live. My brothers and sisters, knowing this, we need to make the best of our life as we can. And the one way to do this is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you won't have to live ways for life. Don't worry, that ain't nothing for the devil. Y'all want me to tell y'all that. You won't have to live an empty life by trying to find love, happiness, successful living, purpose, and especially joy in the things of the world. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God, which is God's rule in your life, all these things will be added unto you. But oh, how many of our young people today and some old folk are living a wasteful life without God. But a life without God is a life that is wasted, no matter, again, I say, how successful it may seem. Again, that's why the Bible said, I want to repeat it again, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? My brothers and sisters, we can't relive our life. And that's why it is the most precious commodity for any living thing. Because in reality, it is the only thing in the world that has, as I told you, intrinsic value. And let me tell, especially our young folk, that there's nothing more valuable than time, because time cannot be bought back. So don't waste it on the wrong things in life. However, all of us are given a certain amount of time that we can spend in our life. But once that time run out, there's no way we can buy it back. But even worse, we are not informed, again, I say, of how much time that we have. Again, you could have 20 years, or you could have 30 years, or maybe you might be in the last moments of your life. And how sad it is to read the obituaries and see many young people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s dead, many of whom were not saved, who had walked away from God and were living the fast life, living the wasted life, not knowing that they would never get a chance to redeem the time and get right with their Maker. And my brothers and sisters, I don't care what you folk come and say at your funeral. I don't care how loving they say you were. I don't care what they say about you. If you are not saved like the rich man, you will lift your eyes in hell. You understand. For the Bible, again, says in Hebrews 9:27, is appointed unto men once to die, and after come the judgment. Again, I say, ask the rich man who ended up in hell and saw Pope Lazarus, who was only desired the crumb from his table. Lazarus was now resting in Abraham's bosom. He was resting in paradise. And the rich man was in torment in hell. He was begging Father Abraham to let Lazarus come down and bring not a glass of water, but just a drop of water to cool his scorching tongue. For he was in torment. But Abraham said to him, "My son, it's too late, because your destiny is sealed. Even if Lazarus wanted to come to you, he can't, because there's a great gulf between here and there." Meaning he can't come to you, nor can you come to him. In other words, there is no back door in hell. There's only one way in and no way out. I was online the other day, and there was another preacher saying, like Carlton Pearson, that there's no such thing as hell. Well, I'm going to say this. I'd rather believe that it is and die and find out that it isn't in a hell, than to live my life believing that there is no hell and die and find out that there is a hell. Are y'all here with me? Yes, Lord. And so I'm going to stand on the word of God that says, in the end, all those who don't belong to him will be cast in the lake of fire, along with the devil and all of his angels. Jesus said that this is the second death. My brothers and sisters, if we don't live this life rightly and we die wrong, the opportunity is forever gone. And so the prodigal wasted all of his substance on wine, women, and song. What a lot of us call the good life, or having a good time, when in fact you're just wasting our time on things that are passing, not knowing when our time is about to run out. Well, secondly, many things cause us to live the best life. Well, God calls us to live the best life by calling on us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and by leaning not to our own understanding, and by acknowledging him in all our ways. And he promised to direct our path. Then Jesus says in Matthew 7 and 13, he said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, but you know, I thank God that the Lord is my shepherd. I can't speak for you, and I shall not want. He make me to lie down in the green pastures. He lead me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil because he's right there with me. And so I praise God daily for his mercy and his grace, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And therefore we glorify God in our lives by letting our light shine, that others will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Because the needy world calls for every Christian to live a godly life. We need to be examples of what happened when the Lord comes in our lives. My brothers and sisters, it's a wasteful life to live this life without Christ. It's tragic in time in this present world, because like the prodigal, you can end up in the pig pen of life, even though you think you're not. But even worse, it's tragic in eternity, which is the life to come, because there's only one other direction to go if you don't spend time eternity with Christ, and that is an eternity without Christ. My brothers and sisters, we need to make the most of our time by remembering that we only have one life, and this life is short. But unfortunately, again, I say most folk don't think about the value of time, and so many live their lives like the prodigal and wasteful and riotous living. Many of our young men and women are living their lives, and they're not living productive lives. Many are trying to take shortcuts to success by selling illegal drugs and the like, only to end up hooked on drugs or spending time in prison, or even worse, being killed or die before their time. But in the text, the young son found himself in a pig pen. He found himself feeding pigs, and he was so hungry, yes, Lord, that even pig slop began to look good enough to eat, because nobody gave him anything. But it was in this deplorable condition that he came to his senses. Now that suggests to me, if you're wasting your life by trying to do your own thing without the Lord, just look around you and see those who once lived as you were living, but are now living for the Lord, and it might help you to come to realize that God loves you, and you don't have to live a wasted life. All you got to do, if you walk away from God, is repent and ask his forgiveness, and he will restore. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, meaning the Lord will restore you to a right relationship with him, and back to living a blessed life and not a wasted life. And if you've never been saved by receiving Christ by faith as your Savior, and you want to live the abundant life instead of the wasted life, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and you'll be moved from a wasted life to a blessed life, and you begin to rejoice and realize finally it is a glorious to live this life for Christ. Why? Because as the songwriter says, only what you do for Christ will last. And so in the text, when the young man came to himself and he realized that he didn't have to live like he was living, because he had a father, a servant, who was living better than he was. We know he said in verse 18, I'm going to rise and go back to my father. And I say, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. This is the first step of repentance, and that is acknowledging you're wrong. That's why the chronicle writer say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, God said, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins. My brothers and sisters, and especially young people, don't waste your life or continue to waste your life on unproductive living without God as you pursue your education and your future. Always remember that you only have one life, and that's all. And you're made for God, so don't waste it. So you need to resolve today to live with all your might while you live, because God created you with a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify God in all that you do. Because life is wasted when we do not live our lives to the glory of God. Because in the text, the prodigal son, he was not glorifying God, but he was glorifying himself by wanting to do his own thing. Father, give me my goods that fall from me. And not many days after, he gathered together all his belongings, and he went off into a far country, and there he wasted all his possessions with prodigal living. But here we see that God was nowhere in his plans. Only having a so-called, all he was doing was having a so-called good time. But my brothers and sisters, we waste our time when we don't weave God in our workings and our living and our everyday life. By enjoying and praising his holy name, because the opposite of a wasted life is living a life of single God exalting, God satisfying passion. In other words, as I try to move to the close, because look like y'all getting a little drowsy on me, you need to long for your life to have eternal significance. Now, we can't get back the wasted time or the wasted years, but I got some good news. We can get started. We can get a brand new start and begin a brand new life that is productive in the Lord. If only we come back to the Lord. How do we glorify God? By acknowledging his greatness and giving him all the honor and praise and worship to him, because he alone deserves to be praised, honored, and worshiped. And so in closing, one day, like the prodigal son, I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. Yeah, Lord. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I found out when I came to the Lord that nobody is too lost that they can't be found, too far out that they can't be brought in. Nobody is too low down that the Lord can't lift them up. Nobody is too dirty and filthy that the blood of Christ can't wash and make clean. Ain't God all right? Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, on that old rugged cross, Jesus, he shed his precious blood to wash away our sins, as he hung bled and died for the sins of the world. That's why the songwriter says, he said, what can wash away all my sins? Or what can make me whole again? He said, nothing but the blood of Christ. Then somebody else wrote, he said, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. that blood that give me strength from day to day. It will never, no, never lose its power. Then it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that give me strength from day to day. I tell you, it will never lose its power. But not only did Jesus die for our sins, but after laying in the grave for 3 days and night, right early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands.